How great is our God? How amazing is our God? He's so amazing. He's so awesome. He's worthy to receive glory and honor and praise. Man, last time we was talking about the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. And we talked about many different things, but one of the major things we talked about last week is not only the Holy Spirit, he is the Spirit of truth. He will lead and guide you into all truth. He will teach you in all things. He'll bring back to your remembrance all the words which Christ says unto you. He will show you those things to come. But we also talked about how it was God's desire that we would, when we live this life, this new life in Christ Jesus. And see, that's what we're really going to talk about tonight is this new life in Christ Jesus, living with the Spirit of life. Not only is the Holy Spirit called the Spirit of truth, but one of the other names he's called is the Spirit of life. And we're going to really dive into that tonight, you know, because we found out last week that Jesus said this in John chapter 8, verse number 31. He says this. He says, Jesus said unto those Jews who had believed. And we talked about how important it is that you believe. See, ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you right now, if you don't believe it, you won't do it. See, if I really want to know what it is that you believe, all I got to do is watch what you do. If I really want to know what it is you believe, all I got to listen to is what you say. If I really want to know what it is that you believe, not what you think you believe, but if I really want to know what you truly believe, all I got to do is watch your life. Because if you really sincerely believe what you was thinking is true, nothing and no one would be able to stop you from doing it. And see, that's the same thing about this thing about serving God. This whole thing about being a disciple, this whole thing about being a student, this whole thing about, you know, reading God's word, studying God's word, hearing God's word, watching the word of God being preached. Something about that is because when you truly believe what it is that you're hearing is truth, you would move every mountain. The mountain couldn't be high enough. The river couldn't be deep enough. The valley couldn't be wide enough to keep you from doing whatever it is that that word says. So what it really comes down to is, what do you really believe? See, you don't believe with your head, because in your head, you can reason all kind of things. You can reason why you should wait till your spouse goes to sleep and wake up and eat that last bit of ice cream that's in there and hoping they won't realize that you ate it. Or you can reason within yourself why you should be justified for buying that Michael Kors purse and everything, even though you and your spouse said y'all was going to be on a budget and y'all said y'all wasn't going to spend no more money because y'all going to get out of debt. You can convince yourself that even though you're over 40 years old and you still trying to wear them skinny jeans because you think that you look like one of them youngsters, man, put them jeans up at your age. Bottom line is, when you believe something, you will do it. And Jesus is saying it here. He said, for those Jews who believed in him, had trust, total trust and assurance and reliance in him. He says this. He says, if you abide in my word, or if you hold fast to my teachings and live in accordance with them. Jesus didn't say just to hear the word. And see, we talked about this last week. God said one of the greatest deceptions that's going on even in the body of Christ is people believe just because I heard the word, I understood the word and I'm doing it. No, you could hear the word and never do it. You can hear the word and never believe it. You can hear the word and never receive it. Hearing the word alone is not enough. You have to receive it. You ever heard somebody talking to you before and you saw their lips moving, but you wasn't receiving anything they were saying? I could tell. Even as I speak the word of God, I could be talking to somebody and I can tell if what I'm talking to them is bouncing off of them. Bouncing off of them, what do you mean? I'm saying it to them, but they throwing the ball right back to me. I'm saying it to them, but they throwing the ball back to me. And when I begin to sense that, I'm receiving resistant. Now, it might be the individual. It might even be the adversary trying to keep this word from going for us. But we bind him in the name of Jesus, and we command him to take his hands off right now in Jesus' name. Jesus said this. He said, if you abide in my word, if you hold fast to my teachings and live accordance with them, he says, then are you truly my disciple. So how do I define myself as a true disciple of Jesus? Am I holding fast to his word, which means I'm holding on to it tight? And am I living in accordance to him? See, I got to get the word. I got to receive the word. I got to believe the word. And then I got to do the word, or live in accordance to the word, in order for me to qualify as one of Jesus' true disciples. And he says, and you will know the truth, and that truth will make you free. And it goes on to say later, it says, in whom the Son makes free is free indeed. Then we talked about last week in accordance to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we talked about, for this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, like you're doing right now, when you receive the word of God, what you're going to find out when you go to service on either on Saturday or on Sunday, when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the words of men, but as it is truth, the word of God, which also effectually works in you who believe. Remember, the word only works in you if you believe it. Kind of like that diet. It only works. We don't even talk to people about diets, because the first three letters of the word diet is D-I-E, die. We don't talk about that. What we talk about, modify your way of eating. Modify your way of living. How are you going to do that? You're going to get new information. You're going to go do some research, and you're going to go out there and get some new information. And when you go out there and get that new information, you will find some that you will believe it. And then when you believe it, you will receive it. And when you receive it, guess what you will do? You will make plans to do it. It's no different than it comes with the word of God. First of all, you got to realize, when even when your apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher is speaking, if they're speaking the word of God, they might be the instruments by which it's coming forth, but the source of that word is not the men or women of God in the pulpit. The source of that word, you're going to find out tonight. He is the spirit of life that comes from the Father above. We talked about last week about what is truth. Many people say, you said it's the spirit of truth, but man, I got my truth. You got your truth. Boo-boo. There's only one truth. And Jesus defined it in John 17:17. He said this, sanctify them by your truth, Father. Your word is truth. In other words, Father, your word is the final authority. Your word is the standard. Your word is the way it's supposed to be. It's the way it's supposed to go down. Your word is the final authority. Jesus even started the chapter all talking about that, you know, Father, he asked the Father to glorify him. His hour's come, so glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you. He says, as you have given me authority over flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as he has given him. Now, Jesus laid it out for us last week, and this is where we're going to pick up talking about the spirit of life. When we believe, I know growing up in a Baptist church that I believed for many, many years that eternal life was after I died and went to heaven. But when doing studies and growing up and learning things, studying the word for myself, I found out that eternal life begins the very moment I accept the eternal life that Jesus is talking about, begins the very moment I accepted Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. How is that? Because I died to my old ways and was born again anew from above. And when you get born again, or when you're made new, or you come into a right relationship with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, then what happens to you? You die to the old life and you step over into eternal life. And Jesus really defined it for us. He says, and this is what eternal life is. This is what eternal life is. Not just, when we all get to heaven, what a glorious day it's going to be. This is eternal life, that we may know the Father, the only true God. So Jesus doesn't define eternal life as the day we go to heaven. Jesus says eternal life is the moment that you know the true and living God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. So how will you know the Father? The only way you're going to know the Father is through the Son. We talked about last week that you cannot have the Father without the Son. You can't have the Son without the Father. And you can't have the Father and Son without the Holy Spirit, because the three are one. They are one in aim, name, and purpose, but they have three different functions, which we're going to get into tonight. So the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, is the Spirit of the Word of the living God. We find out that our delight is to be able to not only to know God, and according to Jeremiah 9:23, is not only to know God, but to also understand God. He says, my delight is that you understand and know me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord, according to Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. Just right now, we've learned about the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of Truth. We learn what truth is. We understand that in order to be true disciples of Jesus, the first thing we got to do is make a decision to believe. And when we hear the word, we receive the word, we hear the word, we believe the word, and we live in accordance to that word. And when we begin to live in accordance to that word, you know what's going to happen? It's going to make you free. Free from what? Your old ways of doing things, that old way of thinking, that old way of responding, that old way of talking, that old way of walking. All those things is what the word itself will do. But why is this so important? Why you keep getting so hung up on about the word and everything? You keep saying the word, the word, the word, because remember, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life. And when we turn over to John chapter 6, verse 61, it's talking about Jesus. Now, I learned this early on in ministry. In fact, Jesus was the one who taught me this lesson. He says, never get high on your own supply. Never get so puffed up about people talking good about you. He says, because the same people who talk good about you will be the same people who talk bad about you. He says, you are always one sermon away from everybody joining you, and you're one sermon away from everybody walking away. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And until I saw it happen in real life. Until I saw many people who preach one word. And then Jesus said, let me give you an example. And he says, this is your example in John chapter 6 about the Holy Spirit being the Spirit of life. He says this, he says, and when Jesus, verse 61 says, and when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, what was they complaining about? The word he was teaching. His own disciples, the ones who are supposed to be adhering to the word, the ones who are supposed to be doing the word, the ones who are supposed to be believing in him, the ones who are supposed to be following him. He says this, he says, his disciples complain. And this was Jesus' response to them. Does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit. It is the what? It is the Spirit. What Spirit are you talking about? The Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do? He gives life. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives life. Oh, glory to God. And he goes, why? Because the Word of God does what? Gives life. When you hear the Word and when you receive the Word, something on the inside of you comes alive. But I'm going to keep on moving. Another time, another message. He says, the Holy Spirit, he is the one who gives life. He says, the flesh profits nothing. He says, the words that I speak. Now, listen to this part. Jesus says, the words that I speak to you are spirit. And the words I speak to you, they are life. So when the Holy Spirit receives the word and he begins to say the word and he gives you the words to say, or he gives every apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, and leader the words to say according to the word of God, we are speaking words of truth. We're speaking words of spirit, that are spirit, and we are speaking words of life. That's why it says death and life are in the power of your tongue. In other words, you can make a decision to speak death, or you could make a decision to speak life. And we're going to talk about the difference between living in the death cycle and living in the life cycle here when you're talking about the Spirit of Truth. Now, Jesus already knew that there were some who was among whom who did not what? They did not believe, even though they said they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So you could say you believe and still, you could say you could believe on Jesus and still never believe in any words that he says, which is totally polar opposites to one another. People can will believe that Jesus died and went to the cross, rose from the dead. Yep. But they won't believe anything else in the Bible. And as a result, they never go any further than being on in as a baby in diapers their whole Christian life because they made a decision that they was not going to do exactly what the Word of God told them to do. He says, he goes on to say this. He says, therefore, I said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been given or granted to him by my Father. From that time, many of Jesus' disciples went back and they walked with him no more. Sometimes I know there's going to be a word that you're going to hear and you have the opportunity, if you take it, to get offended. But when you get offended, you know what that word offended means? It is scandalized. That word scandalized means you get trapped. It's a scandal that the adversary set up for you to get trapped. And what happens when you get offended, you get caught in a trap. And you're paralyzed and you can't move forward because you're so bad being stuck in the thing that caused you to get offended. Offenses, opportunities for offenses will come. Whether you take those opportunities or not is up to you. But even when you hear the word of God preach, and even if it makes you so mad, because why is it making you mad? Because it's challenging your way of thinking. The Spirit of life. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life. When he gave words, what happened? The words produced life, and the words were spirit, and the words were life. And everybody who received them, even though they was once in the death cycle, they came over into the life cycle. Why do you know the Word of God is life? Well, if you go over to Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, it says this. It says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even asunder the division between the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrows. It is a discerner, or a better way to say, it knows how to sniff out what is in the thoughts and intents that are in your heart. The word of God is the only book that you could be reading, and while you're reading it, it's reading you. It's exposing what's on the inside of you. In James chapter 1, it talks about how it's a mirror. And what does the mirror do? When you look at the mirror in the morning time and everything, you get up and make sure you ain't got no little, what they call eye boogers in your eyes. You ain't got nothing hanging out your nose. Your hair is not all over your plate, all over your head. You're not looking ashy all over your face. What are you doing? You're looking at that mirror, and that image that's in the mirror is bouncing back to you, and you're making whatever adjustments need to be made to make that thing right. Well, the Word of God is a mirror, and when you begin to look in that mirror of the Word, that mirror of the Word is going to begin to expose things in you. It is going to begin to reveal things in you, and it's going to be those things that have been hidden from you from so long because you buried them so deep. Can I get one amen? Because I've been guilty of that myself. I buried something so deep, and one day I was reading the Word, and it came up. And I'm like, what in the world? And the Holy Spirit is like, you just let it lie dormant. It was always there. The Word was alive. The Word is alive. And when you receive and believe the Word, it gives you life. And when you receive the Word, you already know it is truth. And when you receive that Word, you believe that Word, you act out on that Word, you will be made free. Now, you ever notice that when you're talking about the whole armor of God, the only weapon of offense that the Word, that the Lord said, Paul, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, said was your weapon, was this found in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. It says this, it says, and take the helmet of salvation, he said, and the sword of the Spirit. What is it? The sword, or the weapon of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. So when you're operating with the Word of God, glory to God, He says that word is your weapon. And in fact, when an adversary is trying to come up against you and you're getting bombarded from side to side, remember the Holy Spirit will bring things back to your remembrance. He'll bring the word back to your remembrance. And what are you supposed to do with that word? You're not supposed to sit there and just like, you know, close your eyes and, just, you know, look like you got a twitch or something like that. What are you supposed to do? You open up your mouth and you begin to declare the word of God over that situation. And when you begin to declare the word of God over that situation, guess what happens? You are swinging or wielding that sword, which is the word of God. And what are you doing? Defeating your adversary. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're talking about the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. He is the Spirit of life. In the book of, glory to God. In the book of Galatians, chapter 5, we're instructed to walk in the Spirit. What does the Spirit do? The Spirit is the Spirit of life. The Spirit is the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It says in Romans chapter 8, verse 2, it says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. So you have the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and you have the law of sin and death. And if you operate in accordance to the law, according to the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, you're operating according to God's way of doing things. But when you're operating according to the world's way of doing things, or living according to your carnal mind, or your carnal mind, or according to your flesh, you are operating according to the law of sin and death. And depending on which law you have turned on by your words or your decisions or your actions will determine the results you or I will get. God does not decide that for you. The adversary does not decide that for you. You are the deciding factor. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of life. And what tell Paul to share with the people at the church of Galatia? Well, he said this in Galatians chapter 5, and he says this in verse 16. He says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts are wars against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these two are contrary one to another. You cannot say you're a born again follower of Jesus and still continue to operate according to the way that you used to operate it. And your spirit, it feel like something is scratching on the inside of you. I like to say, like you got your socks on in the shower. Something just is not right. You don't have peace. He says, why? Because your spirit and your flesh, not talking about your body flesh, but talking about fleshly ways of doing things, which we're going to talk about here in just a second. He says, to walk in the Spirit, according to the Spirit of life, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For your flesh will war against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and those are contrary one to another, so that you do not do the things that you wish to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, you might say, well, if you keep talking about the flesh, what are the works, are the actions, are the results of the flesh? Well, I'll tell you. The acts of the flesh are these, are evident in this: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, self-ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murderers, drunkenness, revelers or partiers, and the like, which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit God's ways of doing things. See, it's kind of hard. I was talking to somebody earlier this week. It's like, you know, if you ask the simple question, do you read the book? And they were like, well, no. I'm like, so kind of like if you're talking about you're going to be a Canadian citizen before you come in from another country, before you are crowned a Canadian citizen, guess what they do? They give you a test. They give you a test to make sure you understand the laws and principles and standards of Canada of the country in which you're trying to get citizenship. It says the in living in the kingdom of God is the exact same way. In order for you to understand the laws and principles of the kingdom, you have got to read the book. Because if you don't read the book, you won't understand God's way of doing things. You won't understand when God says, love your neighbors, when they despitefully use you, pray for those who try to talk bad about you. You won't understand the fact where it seems like you don't have enough and he tell you to go sow a seed. You won't understand when he says, forgive those who've been lying and cheating and trying to manipulate. You won't understand it because in your carnal mind, you would never want to do it. But now that you have the mind of Christ, because you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, you can do things that you ordinarily could not do in your own ability. But you said those are the things that the flesh demonstrates. Well, tell me, what if living according to the Spirit of life and the Spirit of truth, what will happen? Well, the fruit of the Spirit is this: love and joy and peace and long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And those who are in Christ have crucified or put to death their fleshly desires with the passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, you ask, you say, Pastor, I heard you say that about that area. Well, give me another example. Well, go with me over to Romans chapter 8, verse number 3, and it says this. It says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. Means you couldn't keep it. You can't keep the Ten Commandments. And by the time they got past the Ten Commandments, and by the time Jesus got here, they had over 600 something different commandments. And guess what? Even those who was telling people to keep the commandments was not able to keep the commandments. See, a lot of people, I know people today who they're trying to say they still living under the law. Well, the thing about it is, if you say you're under the law, then that means you're ignoring grace. If you're ignoring grace, what you're saying is, God, I don't need your grace, your ability, your power to enable me to stop doing the things that I need to stop doing and enable me to do the things that I should be doing. I don't need that. I can do it on my own. And he says, if you are guilty of one of the law, you have broken them all. So if you broke the law of not being willing to forgive, then you also broke the law of being a murderer. And you also broke the law of being an adulteress. He says you can't do it in your own strength. And he says it's not by your might, it's not by your power, but it's by the Holy Spirit. That's why he gave you the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of life, the Spirit of truth on the inside of you, who's always with you, so that you can live out the life that Jesus came to provide. He said God sent his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. What does that condemn sin in the flesh mean? He's already judged it. He's already judged sin to be wrong. And he, guess what he also did? He paid the price for you and for me and for the entire world, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It says he condemned the sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who did not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, which we've already talked about. He says, but those who according to the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, set their minds on the things of the Spirit. They set their minds on the things of the Spirit, which is love, joy, faith, peace, gentleness, goodness, long-suffering, and meekness. He says, but to be carnally minded or to be fleshly minded is death. Remember, there's a law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. There's a law of the sin and death. He says, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Remember, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is what makes you free from the law of sin and death. Are y'all seeing that part? He says, because the carnal mind is enmity or at war or at division against God. So if you're in your carnal mind, your fleshly mind, on all the things you thought was cool and make, he says that's enmity or in total disagreement with God. He says, for it is not, your carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh, if you're living according to your flesh, let me give you a word. You cannot please God. There's no two ways about it. If you're living according to your flesh, if you're saying, God, I'm going to stick with this. I'm going to stick with my way of doing things. What you're telling God is, I don't need your way. I got my own way. But God says, if you're living according to your flesh, if you're living driven by your flesh, he says, you cannot please me. He says, but if you are not in the flesh, you are in the spirit, those who made a decision to be spiritually minded. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. So you can't be spiritually minded unless the Spirit of God dwells on the inside of you, who is still the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of life, who is the Spirit of truth. Now, let me tell you this. Let me set this record straight, because this is another lie that many people have been taught, even across the pulpit. This is what it says in Romans chapter 8. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, if anyone has not received the Holy Spirit on the inside of him, newsflash, he or she is not of Christ. You are not born again. If you have never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you have never received the Holy Spirit as a result of being born again, you are not Christ. That's not being cruel. That's straight up the truth. And why? Why are we saying all this? Because he says the truth, which the Holy Spirit is, the word is spirit. It is life, but it is truth. What does the truth do? It makes you free. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, but your spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, who's that? The Holy Spirit. He did what? He raised Jesus from the dead. And that same Spirit, if you're born again, is on the inside of you. And that's why you can say you have the Spirit of life on the inside of you, because when Jesus was in the grave, the Spirit of life was what it was that raised him from the dead. Glory to God. He says that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who also dwells in you. Glory to God. Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you by the Spirit put to death the deeds of your body, you will live. Did it say God was going to do it for you? Did you say Brother Pray Right was going to do it for you? He says, you have got to make the decision to lay aside everything that will separate you from God. What will separate you from God? Sin. He says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they have become the sons of God. See how all this wraps together? When you're led by the Spirit of life, when you're living according to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, when you made a decision to walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh, when you made a decision, said once and for all, Holy Spirit, I'm going to allow you, I'm going to yield my life to you. I'm going to surrender it. I believe what it is the Word of God says. I believe it. Because I believe it, I'm going to adhere to it and live it. I'm going to do it. He says, when you are led by the Spirit of God, he says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they have become the sons of God. And he reminds you that you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. He says, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit himself bears witness with your spirit that you are children of God if you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you are being led by the Spirit of God. He says, you are children of God. And he says, and if children, then you are heirs of God and you're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. What is this all about? Galatians chapter 2 is where we stop. He says, I have been crucified. And this is our declaration. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the Spirit, in the flesh, he says, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me, because he also gave me the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of life. He also has given the Holy Spirit, who is spirit. He is truth. He gives life. And he is here to give you an opportunity to receive that brand new life, that God kind of life, the life that Jesus came to give you and I. He says this, he says, but the word of God is near you. In quotes to Romans chapter 8, or Romans chapter 10, verse 8, he says this, the word of God is near you. It says, it's in your heart, it's in your mouth. It is the word of faith which we preach. That if you would believe in your heart the Lord Jesus, and you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you believe that he was raised from the dead, and you confess him as Lord, he says, you shall be saved. He says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Confession is made unto receiving that, receiving Jesus today. And when you receive Jesus today, guess what else you receive? You receive the same spirit of life that raised Jesus from the dead. That same spirit of life will live on the inside of you. That same spirit of life will lead and guide you into all truth. That same spirit of life will lead you down life's pathways and lead you away from things that are according to the law, the spirit of life, laws according to the sin and death. He will lead you. Pray this prayer with me right now. Confess it out of your mouth. Mean it from your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I do believe Jesus Christ, he is the Son of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying just for me. You're seated at the right hand of the Father, and I receive you as Lord of my life right now. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of life. He is the Spirit of truth. Lead me, guide me, and direct me from this day forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer for the very first time, I want to welcome you to the kingdom of God, welcome you to right relationship with God, welcome you to right relationship. What do you do now? Man, you got to get into Word-Based Church that teaches you about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're here every Saturday at 6 p.m. Atlanta Standard Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, man, for another great word of God. Now, if this is your very first time, we want to welcome you. Hey, we want to invite you to subscribe, share with a friend about the spirit of life that dwells on the inside of every believer. Now, on behalf of Pastor Joyner and the entire Ignite Nation, I want to thank you for joining us tonight, and God bless you. Bye-bye.